Welcome to Perception Vibes, where the vibe is to only be perceived by the music. There's already enough shade within the shade room, so we will not be discussing news, politics, gossip, anything of that nature which is to be debated, if it is outside of the music or creation of music. My name is Breeze, and this is my co-host, Shake B.
And today, let's dive behind the pen.
So first,
make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe to the channel. Hit that like button. Thank you all. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good, you know. We're in a new week. Last week went pretty good. Yeah. Launching into this new season has been pretty good. Got a lot of good feedback from our last episode. Yes. Giving Jasmine her flowers, as we should have, yes. You know.
And also, seeing the feedback from Traffic Light Special as well. You know, that's something new that we've added to our repertoire.
Yeah.
So doing that, that was good to get feedback behind that. It lets me know, let us know that we are on the path of great things. So I enjoy that. So today we dive in behind the pen.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean?
Diving behind the pen is, let's break down the songwriters. Because I've been seeing a lot of things lately about the questioning behind ghostwriting and things of that nature. And it's like, us as a creator, do we care? Like, I have two questions. Us as a creator, do we care? And as a fan, do we care?
I don't personally. I think that delivery matters more for me. Like, if you have somebody writing your music and you're able to deliver it in a pretty good way, I don't care who wrote the song.
Mm-hmm. Me, as a fan, I feel like it depends. It depends on what it is. When it comes to R&B, no, I don't care. I don't care. But the thing with rap, I think it depends on what you're talking about.
Mm.
If you're not being authentic.
Yeah.
Or if you're not expressing that your music is a representation of my environment and not necessarily something that I am a part of.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just out here and you're saying that you have these things, or if you are portraying a certain lifestyle and that's not your true self, then that's when I kind of question it. Like, the whole thing behind Drake, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't really care about him having a ghostwriter.
Because his delivery is good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even if it was that delivery of whatever the reference track was, because I feel like for the average listener, they don't really understand what a reference track is.
Mm-hmm.
So to help some people understand, for those who do tune in, a reference track can be a multitude of things. It can be a chorus, a verse, or it can be the entire song of a reference for that specific beat. Or sometimes they can say that I don't necessarily like the beat at all, but I do love the lyrics behind it. Let's find the song that's going to match what we are feeling, the direction of this song is supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a few songs that someone in particular had referenced for Drake, and the cadence of how the beat, how the words were and everything, you know, translates into what it was. And it's the same thing with R&B artists. There is a lot of songs that you may have where they may have liked the background vocals on it, and they choose to keep those background vocals for that song. Mm-hmm. And they have whoever the artist that the song is for to go over and sing the verses for it. And they may even add in some background vocals as well. And then it's the engineer's job to blend all of that together to make it unnoticeable. I really don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't care. As a creative, I like to see the process. I like to be in the environment to see it all come together. Mm-hmm. Because with songwriting nowadays, it becomes very confusing in the business portion of it. Because you can have 30 people on there that said that they wrote something, and they probably could only wrote like two bars. Mm-hmm. But they're going to get credit for it. And I feel like that's where the behind the scenes of it gets confusing, because now you have all these people trying to fight over their credits for that song. I want to learn more about that, because I just found out, you know, we just had the Grammys last week. And someone said that in order for you to get a Grammy, you have to have contributed to the song 51%. And I think that's crazy that in order for you to get an actual Grammy, you have to have had more than half of the credit of that song that's producing, engineering, or songwriting. Otherwise, you're just going to get the little certificate of the that song won a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, are we at the point that we don't care about Grammys, BET Awards, MTV Awards? Do we still care as a creative and as a fan of music? Do we care anymore?
For me, I haven't watched an award show in a couple years. Mm-hmm. And a part of that is because, like, the system built around it is a popularity thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really based upon the popularity of the artist. And not necessarily the giving credit that certain artists are deserved. You know, like, there are so many people that should have been nominated, and if they were nominated, that they should have won. Mm-hmm. But it went in the completely opposite direction that you're looking like, what? How did you even come up with this? So it's like, even when we went to the music conference, Rico Love's music conference.
Yes.
And we learned a little bit about the behind the scenes of how that process is done, and how, like, the people that sit around that table to vote for who gets nominated. It's like, that system has to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be adjusted in the artist's favor, and not necessarily the Billboard's favor
or the record label's
favor.
Mm-hmm.
But in the music business, the dollar is power. You know, the money is power.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy your way into making those things happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the artist this year that won this year necessarily went in that direction. Mm-hmm. But I won't say that they didn't.
Understandable. Do you feel like, when it comes to stuff like the Grammys, is this like an issue where songwriter credit is not really given because the artist is trying to put themselves in the position to have every chance of winning that Grammy, where it's no longer being authentic about the creation of that song, and it's more about, I got a Grammy, a songwriter, I won best song, I won best R&B album, and you really didn't truly
Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast.
Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use.
And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast.
That means you get to get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. Make sure you join Anchor for all your podcast needs.
Right.
Right.
The entire process.
Right.
Of those songs.
Mm-hmm. Songwriters really don't get enough credit. Even in the sense of, if you want to talk about the behind the scenes, they don't get enough credit. Like, I feel like being a songwriter, if you're not as contributing to the song as a whole or the album as a whole, it's like, we'll give you this, and then, you know, take it or leave it. You know what I'm saying? And if you are a songwriter, there are things that you have to have in place to make sure that just because your name is on there, you're still getting, you know, your proper royalties that you deserve.
Right.
Proper things that you have, so people can put on there, yeah, this person is a songwriter, but what else behind that do you receive? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, and you're not getting just the upfront money and saying, okay, yeah, you ghost wrote this song, but you're not going to receive any royalties. You're not going to receive any mechanic royalties or performance royalties of this song, even though you have wrote majority of it. Like, your name is not going to appear anywhere. I think it's slowly starting to change. Mm-hmm. And I like that. It's like, okay, you as a manager, what would you tell your artists, and that's an independent songwriter, that's a freelance songwriter, what would you tell them to do if you were presented a certain amount of money up front and they told you that you weren't going to receive any back end, and there's no split sheets, there's nothing that said that you contributed to this song, either you're going to take it or not? Do you say, well, I'm taking back what I wrote? Or do you say, you got to pay your dues?
Then there's no deal. There's no deal, because, like, that makes no, it doesn't make sense to me to do that. And I wouldn't want the artists that I'm working with to even look at upfront money as a way out. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, $50,000 goes like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me you're going to give me $50,000, and this is just an example.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give me $50,000 to write you a song that you know automatically is getting ready to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to get this hush money, and while the song is steady being played, the song is steadily being streamed, you're going to continue to get money off of it, and all I got was my $50,000 that's gone because I paid off everything that I needed to pay off. You know what I'm saying? These are just examples, but it's like, make it make sense.
Yeah, because how would you feel if the portion of your song became viral on TikTok and you didn't get credit for it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that songwriters need to pay attention to now. Like, the 30 seconds, those 30 seconds could be your 30 seconds, and you're not getting credit for those millions of views that 30 seconds just got from that song that you helped write.
But this is why I need, for all independent artists, not just songwriters, all independent artists need to register yourselves properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are steps that you need to take before you even get into these contracts and these different splits and these different collaborations that you do. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you have everything that you need for your name as an artist and as a songwriter, because all artists are songwriters as well. You know, it's not just literally songwriting. So it's like, make sure you have everything that you need to register yourself properly, so that when it comes down to doing these contracts and everything, you do get it. Mm-hmm. You do. Don't accept less than what you deserve.
Know your worth.
Yes.
Know your worth.
Yes. Value yourself. Value yourself for sure.
Yeah, because I think with music as well as society as a whole, we are still trying to hold on to those old values that don't necessarily work anymore. Mm-hmm. Because I see a lot of things, you know, I'm talking about music right now, that says, well, this is how the game goes. Mm-hmm. That's how the game goes. Who said it had to stay that way? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what worked in the past, but that doesn't necessarily need to be what we do moving forward. Mm-hmm. Especially where we still have the death of the record label still coming to fruition. So it's like, pretty much, you should be independent. At this day and age, there's no need for you really to sign a record deal. So do everything. You just got to do the work. Now is no time to be lazy anymore, and you just have to do the work. And I feel like if you have done all the work and a record label approaches you, then that should be confirmation for you to continue to keep doing your work, because they're clearly seeing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's not right that they'll be able to come in and reap all the benefits of your hard work that you've done. If it makes sense for you to sign the deal, then go ahead. But I don't know if that's necessarily the move anymore. Because if you can get in contact with the same people that they have contacts with, and if you can go out here and network with the same people that they're able to network with, then what am I signing the deal for? Mm-hmm. It's like everybody just need to be, it's too much information. You have access to too much information now for you not to know what you're going into. And also, I've seen something that Diddy said, you got to be willing to walk away from it if it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely willing to walk away if mm-hmm. it does not make sense for us.
Yeah.
Right. So I have a few songwriters offhand, not saying that they're, you know, my top or anything like that. It's just some things that I've seen over the decades of me enjoying music and I want to talk about. So I also seen something else about J-Lo, like all of this stuff is now coming to the light about how she didn't, they're saying that she didn't sing majority of her songs. Like if you pay attention to the lyrics and how they're being sung, you can actually hear what those reference tracks that I talked about and blending them in. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't think people really give Ashanti enough credit for what she did for J-Lo's career mm-hmm. as being a songwriter. And it's like, this is another, what's the word I want to use? This is another problem that we've had with the music industry, is somebody can come along with mediocre abilities, but because their position in whatever industry they're in, they feel that people are going to gravitate more to that person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the example of what it was for Ashanti with songwriting for J-Lo. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, nobody knew who Ashanti was. So she was, in industry terms, paying her dues and being, you know, the fly on the wall, being in the right place at the right time, and being able to have these opportunities to showcase her talent without her being the face of her talent. Mm-hmm. So she wrote several songs for J-Lo, and because J-Lo was the bigger name, the bigger brand, she was able to hold on to those. But it came to surface that Ashanti made sure that she still had her credit. You may not show up in black and white, but everybody knows. So I seen something that was talking about how she had, she was at the VMAs, and it was like, she didn't have any she didn't have anything out. Why was she there? And it was when they were giving J-Lo her credit for the Vanguard Award. And it was like, yeah, I wrote that. And she was putting up, yeah, I wrote that. I wrote this. I wrote that. And it's like, there's a lot of artists out here that are that's doing that. Mm. But then it also makes me think about, what is it about the artists that were once songwriters versus when it became actual artists? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't transfer into success for them as an artist as it does for them just to be the songwriter. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that may be?
For some, it's like you can, like, the songwriting is great, mm-hmm. but maybe it just doesn't translate into when they create their own, because you don't really have your voice, you know, especially if you're a new songwriter, or if you're becoming a new artist from songwriting, you know, you don't really have a voice that everyone knows you for, because you've written songs for different artists and different that sing different types of, you know, music. But it's like, how do you find your own to separate from what you wrote for, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that there are some success stories from songwriters that done it. I think that Ashanti is one.
Yeah, she had a nice little run.
Yeah.
She definitely had a nice little run.
Yeah. Some people should just stick to songwriting.
Who do you think should stick to songwriting? You ain't got nobody.
What I'm going to go ahead and say, and I know, like, people are going to probably come for me, and that's fine. But, like, Ty Dolla $ign.
Oh, yeah.
I prefer songs when he's, like, the background vocals of the song. And I'm not saying that he can't sing, it's just like, when I go to try to listen to a Ty Dolla $ign album, it's not the same feel for me. But if he's on the background vocals, or he's on the interlude of the album, I'm just like, bet, that was nice, that was pretty smooth.
Or if he's a feature, you cool. Like him to be the background feature vocalist,
one verse and you're gone.
You can't do a whole song. You have yet to find a whole song.
Yeah.
I can understand that. I do feel that Ty Dolla $ign is very talented.
Yeah.
But I also agree.
He creates a very smooth vibe for, you know, everybody else. But it's like, I don't know. But he probably has his own sound, and that's fine, but it gives me Flow Rider vibes sometimes.
Not Flow Rider. took it back.
No, the only reason I said that is because, like, sometimes it gives you that Miami Beach vibe, you know what I'm saying? Like, spring break vibe, you know, like
I get when
party
it,
you know,
I really feel like, yeah, when it comes to songwriting, you can really tell with certain people the vibe or the area that they live in, because I feel like Mustard, Ty Dolla $ign, even Eric Billinger, and even Sir sometimes, mm-hmm. they give you that California vibe. Mm-hmm. I do get that California vibe from them. That's why, and then I think that's why so many people are mad that Atlanta has really taken over the music, because everything sounds like Atlanta. I'm not going to say like the average or even the younger generation, they really don't care. But for people like our age and above, it's like they're mad because there's no separation. So they feel like everything is down south music, or, you know, Florida, you know, the southern area. When you have like New York has lost their sound, mm-hmm. as far as songwriting goes, because now it seems like the East Coast side of music is all auto-tune. Mm. Everybody wants to sound like Future and, you know, things like that. But you can tell with like a Ty Dolla $ign. Like you can tell, you can see those vibes. And it's just like when it comes to Ty Dolla $ign, yeah, I agree. I do agree.
You agree with my Flo Rida comment?
No, hell no. I don't know. I don't know about the Flo Rida part. It's been a long time. I would definitely have to refresh my memory on Flo Rida. But
oh man, I'm about to catch a lot of slack.
I don't know about that one.
I'm not comparing him to Flo Rida. I'm just saying, you know, that Flo Rida had those like the pit bull, you know, they give you the party vibes. Like you can definitely party too.
But he does have some slow ones. It's just like they were like interludes and they weren't long enough for me. And I feel like
those are the ones that I like.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to have a mid tempo to slow, you know, to see what it sounds like.
And I'm gonna just be quite honest. I thought for the longest time that Party Next Door and Ty Dolla $ign was the same person. Didn't know. I did not know.
Oh my God.
I gotta be honest.
I can tell the difference between Party and Ty Dolla $ign. I can tell the difference. Okay. I can't tell the difference between some of these rappers. Like, my baby got me listening to Don Toliver. And I didn't even know that he'd been out for a while because there was a song with him and Travis Scott. And I couldn't tell the difference between them two until I started listening to his music more. And I was like, oh, okay, now I can tell. But before, if I didn't know who your music was, I can't really tell because it sounds the same. And we coming back to the men and all that shit sounding the same.
Mm-hmm. But is there a difference in someone influencing your music and your sound versus you just trying to sound like everybody else?
I think it's blurred right now. I think it's blurred, and I think that I feel like after T-Pain and the whole little minor little Jay-Z beef with the death of the autotune, mm-hmm. I feel like that's when it began to be start to be blurred on how everybody sounded individually, because mm-hmm. I feel like after T-Pain had kind of got quiet after it was this whole death to auto-tune thing, and then Future popped up, and then whoever popped up after Future, and everybody started using auto-tune even more, I feel like it was backfired to the death to auto-tune. I mm-hmm. feel like it was like, no, we're gonna use it even more now.
Yeah,
now it's to the point where people feel like it's not even a good song if there is no auto-tune on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm trying to understand, or where are we going? Mm-hmm. Because every artist, especially the men,
mm-hmm.
every one of them, like, they have to have auto-tune on it. I think they're scared to show that they really can sing, or they're too lazy to figure out where they need to get vocal lessons from so that they can sing.
Because T-Pain, his vocals, he doesn't need auto-tune. Like, I had to go to a concert and hear T-Pain sing live to be like, okay, T-Pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. So, like,
but that he is a success story of a songwriter turned artist.
And I believe I do have a playlist of T-Pain songs. Y'all should check it out. It's on Spotify. When Jacquees came out with that whole King of R&B bullshit, he needed to stop it, though. I don't want to hear it anymore. So I went and made a bunch of King of R&B playlists. So if you go on my Spotify, what is it? Is it Shake House?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you go to Shake House, you'll find all of my playlists that I have on there from the King of R&B. And I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of songs on there that you guys probably have missed from these artists, y'all should go check it out.
Okay, so if you go on Tidal, they do have different playlists that they break down what artists do. So, like, if they are a producer, they'll put together a playlist of, like, songs that they produce.
Okay.
So, T-Pain has a songwriter mix.
Okay.
And he was a songwriter on RoboCop, Kanye West RoboCop.
RoboCop.
Damn. I was getting ready to sing Street Life. Why are you so paranoid?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, you didn't like 808s and Heartbreak, so I'm like, that's a bad example. Okay, let's keep going, keep it going. Okay, so he is listed as a songwriter on Early 2K on Chris Brown's latest release, his latest album.
What song?
Early 2K, Indigo, on the Indigo album with Tank.
Wait, what song is that? Tank.
We'll go ahead and play it.
Yeah, because I don't know what I have to hear it.
But the fact that T-Pain has a playlist of songs that, you know, he's been a songwriter for, he's a songwriter.
Okay. I'm pretty sure. I never knew the name of that song.
Oh, okay. Because I'm about to say, I've heard that song. If you seen Tank featured, you went to go play it.
You know what? Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, you brought up.
He wrote a K Michelle song. Come through, T-Pain. Shout out to T-Pain, real quick.
Okay, so you
wrote a lot of K Michelle songs.
You brought up Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
What does Dr. Dre, Diddy, and Kanye have in common?
You tell me.
They all had somebody write their songs.
Oh, facts.
So while everybody always beating up on Drake, what makes them three any different?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make them any different, because there may be differences in the, you know, the style that they're in, but somebody wrote their songs. Do we really care if somebody wrote Kanye's songs? Do we really care if somebody wrote Diddy songs? And even Diddy as a songwriter, like, you know, you may even hear some people say, well, Diddy can't sing, but Diddy know what he wants to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye knows what he wants to hear. Dr. Dre knows what he wants to hear. So if you can approach them and give them a hit song, they're going to do whatever the producer or the songwriter wants them to do on those songs.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, we don't give a damn.
Because in some instances, it's not even that they wrote the whole song. Sometimes they're just the co-writer. You know, they helped fill in the songs. Right, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you get stuck on a hook. You know what I'm saying? And songwriting can be like, I helped you finish out the hook. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can even talk about Rico Love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would actually prefer his songwriting. Then
he did have some good songs on a couple of the albums. I don't know if they were necessarily albums or just projects he put out. There were a few. My only issue, and before I say that, I want people to understand that just because I may dislike something or I may disagree with something doesn't necessarily mean that I'm hating. Or it doesn't necessarily mean that I don't want to work with these individuals. It just means that this is my opinion of certain things when it comes to the music. So with Rico, what I've been seeing is that he's still in the old formula of the early 2000s.
Is that based on his sound?
you're saying?
I'm talking about sound and I'm talking about songwriting. Mm. Because I see that he is trying to start over again and work with new upcoming artists, but I still feel like you're still with the old sound. And it's not necessarily bad. It's just that I don't think it's going to reach, because it's not reaching me, and I enjoy what you do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't really know where we can go as far as songwriting, because, you know, we've been around for a long time. R&B has been around for a long time, and everything that needs to be said has been said over and over and over again. It's like, my question for songwriters now is, how do we come up with a new approach? Mm. Because saying I love you has been said over and over, and in many different metaphors, cadence, music, genres. What do we need to do to challenge ourselves now as songwriters? Or are we just trying to chase that we made a hit?
And that's really where some of my issues with, like, newer music is, because newer R&B. Mm. I don't really like to talk about rap. I'll leave that alone. But newer R&B, it's like, what I want to hear is a challenge in your songwriting. Being someone who, like, enjoys lyrics and the writing of the music more than the actual music, I want to be challenged with what I'm listening to. Mm-hmm. If I listen to your song that first go wrong and I know exactly what you're talking about, and it didn't spark me to say, wait a minute, I missed what you just said, let me rewind it real back. Let me rewind it real quick. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you don't do that for me, then it was too easy. You didn't take the time to do it. You didn't take the time to, like, really paint out a picture for me. You didn't challenge yourself to challenge your listener.
So I've been hearing that simple is the best way.
Simple is the best way.
But for whom? Is it just simple is the best way to make a hit because you're trying to reach the masses? Or is simple the best way to make quality music?
That's tough.
Because the first thing they say is that for a songwriter is to be catchy. But it's being catchy always the best way.
But that's boring to me. That's what I'm saying. Like, and you know, to go back to why you call me a hater to him, to Eric Bellinger, it's not that I don't like his music. It's too catchy for me. Mm. Like, the hooks are too catchy for me. Mm. And it can be simple. You know, that's cool if that's what you like, if that's your preference. But for me, I don't want to keep hearing the same thing. And then I'm mad because now I'm singing this damn song everywhere I go. So it's like, no, no, no. Hmm. So simple, nah. I'd rather the challenge. I'd rather you take the time. I'd rather you get a bunch of writers in one room to see how we can make this song a song.
But that was another thing that he said as well, is that you the greatest songs that were ever written were not written by the same person. Mm-hmm. They were written by multiple people. Mm-hmm. So I really want to give back to the way, if those movies like The Temptations and, you know, those type of films, if they were true to what really happened, like when they had the scenario of everybody listening to this song and choosing between, you know, the one scene where they was like choosing between the sandwich and the song.
Yeah.
And they were, some people were like, the sandwich, mm-hmm. go back to the drawing board, that song ain't it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want
mm-hmm.
for my music and who I work with and who I create with. Because I've been seeing that, what is the point of listening albums now? Is that to just have a party of you having an album release? Or is it really to see if the album is really worth being put out? Are you only inviting those who going to kiss your ass to those release parties? Are you really listening to the feedback that it is? Because if you had an album release party and you didn't just have people that were going to kiss your ass in the room, and they and you had a vast majority of them say that the album was trash, would you say, I'm not going to release the album and we're going to go back to the drawing board? Or would you say, I don't give a damn what y'all say, I'm going to still release the album anyway?
So when do you think the listening session should happen?
The listening session should happen after you said that the album is complete. Like, not to the public, after you feel that the album is complete. And not even necessarily just the, if you're signed to a record label, not necessarily them, because they're only looking at the bottom line, and mm-hmm. that's the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about having like how they'll have movie screenings,
mm-hmm.
like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like a solution would be that way, mm-hmm. to say, like, have real life people come in and say, make them sign the NDAs if you got to. And say, you can't talk about this album at all until it's been released, and have them genuinely listen to the album and give their feedback.
Or you can do it this way. You're in an era right now where you being engaged with your fans is a must, because you have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, with these things, what artists should do is have a private listening session, gather up, you know, some of your fans, you know, put out a thing to say, you know, up to 50 people can join in, or up to 30 people can join in on this live listening session, right? Of course, it would still be like an NDA situation,
mm-hmm.
but you know, have your fans, the people who are gonna buy it, the people who are gonna promote it for you, have some of those people in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just depend on your friends or the people closest around you, because if they were already in the studio rocking with you, like, you know, and they didn't say anything, what is their opinion gonna do for you in this listening session?
Do you feel that there needs to be more people being honest about? Because I'm pretty sure still to this day, there's people in the studio that say, oh yeah, that shit fire. But it's really not.
Right. So it's like, why are you here?
Right.
Don't come to the studio to kick it. I'm here in the studio working. Like, if you in the studio, then you have to be contributing in some way. Mm-hmm. And even if, you know, sometimes some people are there just for the experience to know. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, if I was granted,
go ahead, put it out there.
When I get granted the opportunity to be in the studio with some of my favorite artists, like, my God, like, because even when I listen to music, like, I picture the artist in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
How did they, like, connect to this song? How did they, you know, mm-hmm. reach this point of this high note? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be in the room, mm-hmm. but not just to say that I was in the room.
No, no, no.
I want to see the creative process. I want to be a part of the creative process. And I even want to say, you know what, I think you should. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're not necessarily the technical engineer or something of that nature. Like, you don't have that technical experience. You know what you like to listen to. Mm-hmm. You know what sounds good. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, like, your response doesn't have to be the all in all. Mm-hmm. But give some type of feedback. Don't just be in the room to be kicking the shit.
Yeah, but then the whoever the session is will also be willing to hear what that opinion is. Because mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I want to be in the room. Like, I don't care, because some people don't realize how many times you may have to play that song over and over again, or even just a section of that song. Like, to actually see that artist in their element and see the creative process and what it is, because I'm going to be all in it. Mm-hmm. I want to know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in this room to just be a fan. I'm in this room because I like the process. Mm-hmm. I want to know, how many dB did you take down at? Oh, okay. What EQ did you use on that? Like, I want to sit and observe and watch. I want to sit in a booth and watch. Like, I know there are some artists that don't like all of that, but I'm in there to learn. Mm-hmm. I'm not in there to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really big on the whole smoking and drinking. If that's what you have to do to get into your element, that's fine. But as far as me, if I'm in there working, I'm working. Mm-hmm. I want to work. I want to see what's going on. I want to see when the keyboardist changes the key of the song, or how did they inverted these chords to get that sound. Like, that's the type of shit that I'm on when I'm in the studio. It's actually to work. Or to see how that songwriter came up with those songs. Like, some of these people out here saying, oh, I wrote this song in 10 minutes. You need to go back to the drawing board and spend maybe 20 more minutes on that.
Yeah, because, like, I'm all for subliminal music. Mm-hmm. Like, I really have to know what you're saying to know what you're saying. But if I know what you're saying because you done said it, then I'm just not going to listen to the music. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you take, for instance, a Freaky song, don't paint the song so vivid that it's just like, bruh, you're boring. It's boring. It's so boring. And that's what I'm tired of. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm, it's so corny. It's very corny. And that's what we can eliminate in songwriting of 2021. Going forward, and music going forward. R&B specific, can't speak on rap. R&B specific, we can cut that out.
So, Janae finally released the mixtape that she had. Mm-hmm. And to your point, I had to re-listen to a song on there, Stranger. Mm-hmm. I didn't pay attention to the lyrics.
That's what I'm saying, man.
I'm like, wow, that's what she been saying this whole time. Like, and then, you know, KJ asked me, she was like, so what the hell do you be listening to then when you listen to music? I said, I'm listening to everything. I'm listening to the sounds. I'm not necessarily listening to the lyrics.
When you pair the lyrics to the music that you love, it takes it to a whole nother dimension. I'm not even going to say a whole nother level. It takes it to a whole nother dimension, which is why I preach to you all the time. The lyrics.
I didn't.
The lyrics.
I'll admit it.
And people, and that's why I'm saying, I think that a lot of people sleep on Janae or just catching on to Janae. And it's like, Janae been talking that. Man, Janae.
That, when I played that, I'm like, oh, this still works today. And it's what, 10 years old? She came out with that. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. It still works today.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, you didn't even need to add them extra 5 songs at the end of it. You could have just left what you had on there. And I'm like, wow, I forgot about all of these songs.
You have to listen. Because I think, like, when it comes to writing and, you know, lyricism, it's like, if you take out the music and you just really listen to the words, mm-hmm. you get to know the artist. You get to be one with the artist. I'm just all about connecting to the artist because I feel like I have to know who is this that I'm taking my time to listen to? Mm-hmm. Who is this that I'm, you know, connecting to? Because when you're listening to music, you're connecting, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, and then you add the music back in, you just, it's just different.
Because, see, I do the reverse.
It's different. But that's why I'm saying first. I feel like doing it that way, and I don't knock that way because I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. There are some songs where it's just like the beat. No, can't even do it. But there are some songs that I feel like if you don't give it that chance, you know, you might be missing on a gem.
Yes, and I do acknowledge that. But it's really, truly hard for me.
And I think that's what you're doing. I think that's what you're missing with Anderson .Paak.
I probably am.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard. If I do not, I have to connect to the music first in order for me to connect to the lyrics. So if it's like, if I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Go back and listen to Malibu. I'm serious. Go back and listen to Malibu. Like, honestly.
I'll try.
Go back and listen to Malibu. Like, The Bird.
Oh, my God. I'll try.
Man.
While you out here putting stuff out in the universe, I'm putting it out in the universe that I'm going to find my Timberland. I need to find my Timberland or my Missy. Because without Timberland and Missy, there really is no R&B of today. They paved the way for songwriters and producers, and I want to give them their flowers because Aaliyah alone, Genuine alone, made up most of what we have today. And their lyrics is being inputted into all of these current songs. And because the younger generation doesn't care to do their research, or their parents may not be playing that music anymore, they're not knowing. So this is where my frustration comes in when you say that I don't want to hear certain people's lyrics on other songs. And it's because of that. Because, like, they don't know. We don't have the album covers anymore. We don't have the physical albums anymore where they have the breakdown of this song contains such and such portions of this song by this artist. So it's like they don't know anymore. So that's why I get upset and be like, you don't even know. That's not even the original. Like, we have all of these rap songs or even the R&B songs in. They're sampled a few certain lyrics of a song, and it's like, oh yeah, that's from such and such. And then I have my child looking at me crazy like, no, it's not. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And then when you go play that song, like, I don't like that. Get on my face. But Missy and Timberland definitely are my top songwriters and producers. There's no Pharrell, there's no none of that, you know, Teddy Riley and all of them, those songwriters that gave us the sounds of the 90s and the 2000s. Like, I didn't know that Missy had contributed so much in the songwriting. And nobody knows. Nobody knows.
But Missy is so humble. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think that's why she's like, she's who she is, because she remains, like, even to this day, she's just a very humble person when it comes to receiving her credit and receiving, like, people giving her props and, you know, stuff like that. Some people, if they were in Missy's shoes where we didn't know these things, they would be like, yeah, I did this and I did that. You know, they would just like take it as like a brag session. And she just appreciated the opportunity to be in the room.
Exactly. That's how I feel. Just give me the opportunity to be in the room. That's it. Have you ever heard certain songs where they had two different versions of it and you didn't like one of the versions.
Yeah, but off the top of my head, I can't think of one.
Okay, so I have one. I cannot stand the original demo, and I don't know why she put it on there, but I guess she just did that just because she was putting it on the streaming sites. So on Beyonce's Lemonade, there's two songs. There's two versions of Sorry. Mm-hmm. I love the album version that came out.
Yeah.
But there was a demo version that she put on there. I absolutely hate it.
Yes.
I absolutely hate it. And KJ loves it. And I'm like, why?
Yes.
Why do you like that song? It's, for one, it's too slow.
Yeah.
And you can, I like the fact that you can tell what part of the song, what part of the lyrics that she kept versus what she added in the album version. Mm-hmm. But I can't stand this. I can't stand the slow version.
I see. We're going to play the original real quick. The original demo.
The big homie better hold up. Big homie better hold
now,
up. My body's about to...
It's okay.
It's when you get to the chorus and I'm like, no.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So, okay, okay, okay. Oh, so you ready to just go ahead and get in.
It sounds so much better.
That's because you're looking at the visual.
No, I'm not even looking at the visual. It's the chorus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I get you. I get you. I get you.
It's the chorus. But see, that's an example of being catchy. That is catchy. It's catchy.
It's Beyonce.
Is that what it is?
Nah. Because, I mean, it is catchy. There's some catchy songs. It's like, okay, cool. But...
You just don't.
It's just cheese.
You just do not like.
It's just.
You just don't like them.
I don't.
Like, I'm play that. Okay, so the difference between. Okay, what about the fact that he is a songwriter as well? We're talking about Eric Billinger. Because I'm going to keep bringing him up because you're such a hater and I like pissing you off.
Now, okay. I will say. Now, the song that I do like. I do like. The song with Wale, the Treat Yourself, but it's because I like Wale's part.
Treat Yourself.
No, let's go to it. You funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's my shit. I'm one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like this one.
I deserve that whip right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is cool. And I like, okay, I like this. I like this one. Is it this one? Yeah, I like this one.
Yeah.
This one is cool. This one is cool. But again, it's because of this part right here.
Oh, now you like the end, but that's the Aaliyah verse. That's the Aaliyah sample in the background.
Did you hear Wale?
Evacuate this scene by that last scream.
Oh.
Cause she know it's wash day and these are last day.
So that's what you mean by being metaphoric with your lyrics.
Yeah, I sent this text message to your finance. I'm like, hey, Wale, look, I almost gave my number real quick.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's just like, yes, Wale is a perfect example.
I wish Wale would just go ahead and give us an R&B album.
Yeah, like, get out your feelings, bruh.
Yeah, I really want him. You don't got to play over in that field. You can just come on over here and stay on the lady side.
Yes, because
I respect you more that way.
When he hops on, like, the rap, like, when he was on, what song is that? The Rick Ross song. It was both Rick Ross songs, but when he was on the Trap, Trap, Trap. song with Young Thug. I'm like, Wale, now you know. And then he was on the Act a Fool with Rick Ross off his
What's the Gemini song? And it's not just because it's about Gemini.
I really think it's called Gemini.
Yeah. That's the Wale I like.
Yeah, Wale.
I like the relational, talking about the toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, or even the positive relationship.
Because I like that. What I love about Wale is that it's more poetic.
Yes.
It's poetic lyricism versus like rap.
Yes.
Like, I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
And then I feel like when he in his R&B bag, he really picks up on the music side of it as well. He works with the right producers for that sound. I like his R&B sound. Mm-hmm. When I'm listening to rap, that's the type of R&B rap that I'm okay with listening to.
You like to be a smooth operator.
Yeah, I really do. And I'm okay with that. I don't care if nobody get mad. Yes, from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, I'm in a mellow R&B vibe or the mellow rap vibe. I don't need all of that extraness. I can't really stand McMill or any of that type of, it's too much. I'm not hyper.
Well, sometimes
I'm not jumping around in the club. I'm not doing all of that. That's too much for me.
Sometimes I want to be a thug. Sometimes I want to be a thug, but it's cool.
But if I want to be a thug, then I want Smooth Rick Ross Thug.
Oh.
That's what I'm on.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, songwriters, you deserve your credit.
You do.
You definitely deserve your credit because you put in as much work as the artist who, you know, sang the song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to write a song for a hit artist, cool. But to continue with being a songwriter, go ahead and start selling some hooks. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You can be in the market to sell your hooks. You know, there's avenues for songwriters. And I would love to dive more deeper into that. But we can get into that a little more. You know what I'm saying? I wanted this episode to be, you know, shedding light on songwriting, the process, and ghostwriting. It's not always a bad thing.
It's not.
Just portray what's being written.
Yes.
That's all we ask for.
Or have some knowledge of it. Not necessarily you are about that life.
Mm-hmm. But tune in to Perception Vibes on Thursdays on your favorite streaming platform.
Yep.
And like, comment, subscribe, and let us know what you feel about songwriters. You know what I'm saying?
We definitely would enjoy your feedback.
Yes, yes. Make sure you follow me on Instagram, _ cool breeze, no E on my name because I'm cool like that.
And you can find me at ShakeHouseMG.
And go ahead and follow Perception Vibes. Perception Vibes, we will leave how to spell it out at the bottom of the screen for you. But this has been a great episode, yes. And it's going to be a great week. Enjoy
your day.
Crazy.